Hey, it's a cold evening, and it's nice to see all you folks here, even though you have an Eskimo there, right? That's not that cold, is it? All right, today's devotion, today's study is Psalm 123. Psalm 123. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. I'll read through the entire psalm, and there are only four verses. Psalm 123, a song of degrees, verse 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time that we can study your word. We pray for the kids who are with us, for the young people with us. We pray that you'll help them in their understanding of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what are your feelings about spiritual things? You know, many of you have grown up in church. You've become Christians. You're born into Christian families. But do you like spiritual things? Do you appreciate the things of God? Or do you merely feel, I'm forced to come to church? Now, the people who wrote the Psalms, they were excited. All these people who wrote the Bible, they were very excited. You know, Psalm 120, the psalmist says, oh, I'm so far away from God, I can't wait to be in God's house. All right? Then in Psalm 121, you know, he expressed, but I need God's help if I am going to go, right? To Jerusalem. I need God's help when I seek after him. And 122, we studied last week, it talks about how excited we should be to come to God together with his people. Well, in that one sense, you know, I'm kind of glad. It's a, you know, people say this cold, wintry, wet weather, right? All of you are here. It obviously means that there is a desire. Unless, of course, you were forced to come, right? But there is that desire. You desire to come. So is that your feeling? Do you have a deep desire to be with God's people? Do you like your fellow Christians, right? Now, this psalm today, Psalm 123, teaches about the importance of prayer. You know, just imagine, if you will, right, this psalmist, he's coming to Jerusalem, and, you know, his heart is excited to come. He knows that God will hear him. And when he finally comes to God, as we read, he pours out all his trouble to God. You know, the very good thing about God is that he hears our prayers. And when we come to God, you know, it should not be, I don't want to come. But when we come, it's, I want to express my needs to God. So this was the psalmist. You know, maybe it's because he didn't have enough money. I'm struggling. Maybe, you know, it's because he has done terrible things. Maybe he's got family problems. Maybe his friends had deserted him. Maybe he had a very bad illness. But he comes to pray and to pour out his heart. You know, and for us, you know, we all have our struggles, and we must go to Jesus to pray. Now, I can't remember which hymn it was. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Now, let's just take a look at the hymnal. I think it's Tell It to Jesus Alone. 347. Now, what does the hymn writer here say? First stanza, all right? Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? And what's his conclusion? Well, tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Well, what do? Tell it to Jesus. Stanza 2, do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Right? You don't have to coax your tears to come out. They just come out, you know, gush out. Well, what do? Tell it to Jesus. Are you sad? You tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Well, you tell it to Jesus alone. So in this psalm, it talks about the importance of prayer. Do you guys struggle? Of course. How about the little ones? Do you have problems in your life? Yeah. What do? You tell it to Jesus. Okay? Now, there are four things that we learn from this psalm. Firstly, when you are helpless, come to Jesus in prayer. Secondly, in coming to Jesus or in coming to God, ask for mercy. Now, our prayer, who listens to our prayer? He's a powerful God, okay? And we must not forget to struggle in our prayer. Now, I get strange looks. What does this mean? We'll take a look at that, okay? So firstly, when you are helpless, come to Jesus in prayer. And the psalmist here has a very big problem. What's the big problem that he has? Well, to him, at least, it's a big problem. To many of us, maybe it's not a big problem, but it's a big problem to him. Verses 3 and 4, he says, have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. So what is the thing that bothers him? Well, he's basically fed up. All right, it says here, our soul is exceedingly, we are exceedingly filled with contempt. We are completely, you know, filled with, we've had it, right, with people having contempt for us. And what was the problem? Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease with the contempt of the proud. So you might think, what kind of problem is he having? He is fed up with the rich and proud people hating him. To some of us, we're like, they want to hate me. You know, there'll always be haters, right? You know, for some other people, oh, no one likes me. How come no one likes me? How come people are angry with me? I can't take it anymore, right? So apparently he was one of these, people, right? Now, for some of us, we understand that very well. We're like prickly pears, right? We're prickly on the outside, we're soft in the inside. If anyone harms us, oh! For some of us, we're like, what's the big deal, right? You know, there'll be haters, right? So for this person, that this was his problem, okay? This was his problem, right? Now, I don't mean to laugh at that, because we all experience this sometimes, don't we? Even the hardest, the most thick skin, leathery skin person, you know, deep inside him, you know, his mother doesn't love him, or his you know, relatives don't love, or his wife doesn't love him, you know, he gets upset, okay? So, but what we learn is that there was nothing that he could do about it. You know, if you were in this situation, what would you do? Some people would say, let me see how I can make people like me. Right? For some other people, they, you know, who cares, right? But, you know, what was his problem? We don't know why the rich and the proud people hated him. Maybe he was ugly. Maybe he wasn't smart. Maybe he did something silly and people laughed at him. Or maybe it is more serious. Maybe it's more serious. Maybe he committed a great crime and now people were shunning him, okay? He was being avoided. Now, what can you do when this happens to you? Can you do anything? You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do, right? Some people cry about it. Other people try and, you know, make people like them. or some others will complain that, oh, people don't like me. But one thing is clear is that he could do nothing about it. Right? He was helpless. Haters be haters. Right? And he could not alter his situation. That is why he went to God. When we have problems in our lives we can't do anything about, who do we go to? God. Right? And that's the second point. He went to God. He asked for mercy. Verse 3, have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Now he says this twice. He says it twice, right? Now, obviously, mercy is something we don't deserve. That's why he was asking for it. You know, does God have to help us out of our problems? He doesn't. He's under no obligation. God does not have to help us at all, but he does. You know, why does he not have to help us? Well, God is he's a king. He's a judge. Whatever happens to us, we actually deserve it. So, you know, this poor psalmist, did he deserve what he got? Yeah. In fact, he deserves worse than what he gets. Do we deserve worse than what we get? Of course, we do. But God shows mercy. You know, why should God give mercy? He doesn't need to. He's a king. Now, anyone know who this is? Napoleon. Which Napoleon?
Bonaparte.
The first, right? Napoleon Bonaparte. Well, he was once approached, right, by what? What happened? Actually, you know, he looks really, really grand here, but I think he was like 4'9". Okay. He's a short guy, right? There's nothing wrong with being short. But anyway, he was. Okay, he's a short guy. But he was a very powerful man. So one day, there was this soldier who committed a crime the second time. It was a second offense. And so Napoleon sentenced him to death. This was justice. And so the mother went to Napoleon, and the mother told Napoleon, I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy. So the emperor says, well, he doesn't deserve any mercy. So I'm sure the mother put her hands on her waist and said, of course he doesn't deserve for mercy. If he deserves mercy, I wouldn't have asked it in the first place, right? So she said, of course he doesn't deserve it, but I'm asking for it. And so the emperor, his heart being touched or whatever, Napoleon says, in that case, I will show mercy. God does not need to show mercy, but God does. And that's why we have a wonderful God. If we don't go to God to ask mercy, will he give it? Yeah. So this teaches us, if we want mercy, if we want a solution for our problems, we need to ask, right? So this woman's son was saved. Now, Matthew Henry, in talking about this, the greatest of men must turn beggars when they come to Christ. When we come to God, we're asking, we need to become like beggars. Now, this guy said this. You know who he is? Ah, Lincoln, right? He says, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Now, this was the most powerful man. He was the president of the United States of America. Even he said that he was insufficient and he needed mercy. So when you come to God, ask for mercy. But thirdly, we must realize that when we pray, we are praying to a powerful God. God is very powerful. He can do anything that he wants to. All right? The verse 1 says, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Where is God? Where is his location? He's in heaven. I will lift up my eyes. You know, in Psalm 121, where did he lift up his eyes to? The hills, right? There was no help there. There was only trouble there. And so he asked God. Here, he knows where to look. Right? He He is looking at heaven, to God. You know, and this, you know, this is the Lord's Prayer, essentially. Right? Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, if the one who lives in heaven is so great and powerful, what are our problems to him? They're small. He can help. He is powerful. All right, so there's no problem too great for God. In fact, is anything big to God? Sometimes we think, I can't bring, you know, you mean I can pray for that? I can pray for the, you know, hangnail on my toe? Why not? I can pray for the little cut on my foot. It's such a small thing. Well, let me ask you, is anything big for God? Nothing. Everything is small to God, right? Isaiah 40, verse 12, as it describes God, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. You know, God is so mighty that, you know, he, you know, figuratively speaking, can hold all the water of the earth in his hand. Right? It's figurative. He can measure the heaven with the span. Right? You know, sometimes what we do, well, I shouldn't say we, because I don't usually do it, like works around the house, DIY. You know, you don't have a measuring tape, what do? Right? That's what you do, right? Well, this is how God measures the sky. Oh, it's this wide. All the water on the earth? In his hand. It's nothing, nothing to him. Right? And that's why it's nothing for God to solve your problems. It's nothing to God to change the heart. Absolutely nothing. You know, he created the world in 6 days. Everything that was in it. Right? He could have done it in one. He could have done it in a second. You know, but, you know, he didn't, you know, but it shows us his immense power. Right? So prayer is directed to a powerful God, and that is why we come believing that God will answer prayer. And we must struggle to pray. Verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. All right, so the illustration here is very interesting. Just as the servant, the eyes look at the master's hands, right? So our eyes wait upon God. So what is it trying to tell us? Our relationship to God is what kind of relationship? That of a servant, right? And we're waiting. So what does a servant do? You know, he looks at the eyes of the servant looks to the hand of the master. You know, sometimes masters don't have to talk. You just think of those, you know, Elizabethan times or Victorian eras, you know, where all the servants in their livery, you know, they come and they pour, you know, they'll pour. The master doesn't have to say a thing. What does he have to do? That's it. Enough. And the servant, oh, okay, takes away the wine bottle. You know, but the servant is always waiting, looking to see. In that one sense, for us, we are waiting patiently in prayer until God answers, until God shows mercy. So we keep on praying. We don't stop, right? Prayer is a struggle. We must struggle. We must pray until God answers because, you know, we want what we're coming to God for doesn't happen instantaneously, right? But God tells us, even Christ tells us, to pray until God answers, right? You know the two parables. You have the neighbor at the door. He knocks and says, I want bread. The man who sleeps by the door, he says, my entire family is sleeping already. You know, you might think how unneighborly of him, but in those days, the way the houses were constructed, the kitchen was all the way at the back, the front door was, well, obviously in the front, and all the family members would sleep, and then the father would sleep at the door to protect the family. So if he had to go to the kitchen to get bread, what would he have to do? He would have to cross over all his family members, you know, and of course if, you know, he had one kid, that's fine. If he had two kids, you know, that's a bit more difficult. But if he was the Ng family, he has to cross over like five people, right? Just to, right? So, but he will do it. He will. Because the guy keeps on knocking. And then, the importunate widow. She keeps asking the judge over and over and over again until he gives the answer. So we are to struggle in prayer until God shows mercy. Right? So the attitude of our struggle is not to be impatient, but we are patient as servants are patient. Right? We are patient like servants. Right? And we can be because God is not merely our master, but He is our Father. So what are some applications? Well, obviously the most, you know, the obligatory thing that I have to say is come to the prayer meeting. And I'm glad that you did. We all have problems in our lives. Sometimes these problems we don't want to share. Why? Malu. Well, embarrassing, right? We don't want people to know. But without prayer, without getting the church to pray, and this is a song of ascent, song of degrees. You know, the psalmist is coming with God's people to God's house. We're not individuals in God's family. We're all family members. And so fellowship is important. Seeking prayer from others is important because when that happens, God pours out His mercy and His blessings. It is for a lack of prayer very often that we don't have what we need, right? Nothing is too difficult to overcome with God's help. But we must ask. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your word and how it encourages us. We pray, Lord, for any who is struggling, that You will teach him or her this important lesson, to bring forth requests to seek after God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. We do not have because we do not ask. So teach us, Lord, to be faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.